Chapter 1. Medical Mayhem. Are germs a causative factor in disease? For most of you, the very question must seem absurd. You have probably never been confronted with this kind of question, or even thought about considering it, because somehow, through a series of very interesting historical frauds, this idea that germs cause disease has come to the forefront of people's thinking around the world, despite a massive amount of valid research to oppose it. This research all points to disease being something we have done to ourselves, rather than something we are invaded by. What the medical cartel calls disease is nothing more than a natural process of toxic elimination. The more toxic you become over the years, the more profound your eliminative process. Standardized medicine categorizes the symptoms of this eliminative process in neat little packages, and this is what they call their myriad of diseases. They then provide chemicals which alter the body in ways to shut off this process of detoxification and elimination. But in all actuality, from the wisest point of view on health you can find, the only cure for what is happening to you when you are toxic is your disease. Just think for a moment of what disease means. Dis-ease. The body is out of balance and out of its normal harmony, and it is attempting to work its way back to homeostasis. What exactly is immunity? People have been taught that it is the body's way to fight germs, but nothing can be further from the truth. In a medical sense, all immunity means is that you possess a particular set of antibodies which are supposed to correspond to a particular disease. That's all it means. Being immune from the disease does not mean you will never get the disease. Your immune system is designed to eliminate the accumulation of dead, morbid matter which is highly toxic. What exactly does this mean, accumulated morbid matter? In a large sense, it has to do with the life we live, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and especially it is concerned with the foods we eat and the stress we experience. Our bodies are quite versatile and can accumulate a ton of these stressors before anything really happens. But there comes a point where the body says, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." This is when it begins its eliminative process, and you feel yourself becoming sick. A body that can do this, mustering up enough vitality to throw off toxicity, is indeed healthy. This process of throwing off waste and toxicity is what modern medicine calls disease. Medicine places groups of symptoms together to form their dreaded diseases, but these symptoms are exactly what your body needs to become healthy and pure again. Symptoms are the open doors to restoring health and vitality. Medicine, however, chooses to close those doors by eliminating the symptoms. When this is done over an extended period of time, we enter the realm of chronic and disastrous disease. If you are taking medications to shut off these avenues of wellness the medical people call symptoms, you are shutting off the only avenues of vitality you have to burn off and eliminate toxicity and poison. On top of this, you are introducing far worse poisons into your body, which the body now has to work harder to overcome and eliminate. If this is done repeatedly over a number of years, death soon follows. The medical profession's claim to fame on disease prevention has always been the revered vaccine. But what exactly is a vaccine? I'll bet your medical doctor has never told you they contain rotten proteinaceous wastes in the form of dead animal tissue, along with a myriad of cancer-producing stabilizers and neutralizing agents. What's worse is they inject this junk directly into the bloodstream of would-be healthy children. It's not like the body has several lines of defense through the digestive system before these toxins reach the blood. They shock the body with a direct hit. This concept, above all others, is absolutely insane and continues to defy logic year after deadly year. The DEW, Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, used to print in their parent's guide that the decision to vaccinate your child is yours alone to make. It should concern everyone reading this book that this statement is no longer in print. Ask yourself, what induced you to vaccinate your child? What makes you continue with vaccines? Most parents say it is a fear of their children becoming ill and dying from catching a disease. Others add it is the responsible thing to do. I will prove to you in this book that you are doing a much greater harm to yourself and your child by vaccinating medically, as opposed to not doing so. The issues which surround these ideas of requiring the medical profession to take care of us are more a matter of propaganda and brainwashing than established fact. There is also general misconception that all MDs agree with the idea of vaccination. Here are some quotes which prove otherwise. The Surgeon General, Leonard Scheel, MD, spoke before the AMA in 1955, stating, quote, "No batch of vaccine can be proven safe before it is given to children," unquote. In 1967, James Shannon, MD of the NIH, National Institute of Health, said, quote, "The only safe vaccine is a vaccine that is never used," unquote. Hugh Feudenberg, MD, one of the most respected immunogeneticists in the world, compiled research on Alzheimer's disease concerning the years 1970 to 1980. He stated this at a public meeting in 1997. Quote, "The chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher if an individual has had 5 consecutive flu shots between 1970 and 1980 than if they had just 1, 2, or no shots," unquote. In 1926, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, noted, quote, "In regions in which there is no organized vaccination of the population, general paralysis to polio is rare. It is impossible to deny a connection between vaccination and the encephalitis, brain damage, which follows it," unquote. H. Mullen writes in the book, Murder by Injection, quote, "Vaccine is the cause of more diseases and suffering than anything I can name. Such diseases as cancer, syphilis, cold sores, and many other disease conditions are the direct result of vaccination. Yet in the state of Virginia and many other states, parents are compelled to submit their children to this procedure, while the medical profession not only receives its pay for this service, but also makes splendid and prospective clients for the future," unquote. Vaccines are not only recognized for some of their known side effects, such as anaphylactic shock, seizures, brain damage, learning disabilities, and autism. They are responsible for many chronic and degenerative diseases, such as arthritis, colitis, and cancer. J. Anthony Morris, Ph.D. of the FDA Virology Vaccine Lab and Department of Biostatistics and Biologics, said in 1987, quote, "I am against mandating compulsory vaccination laws, because I have met no one in government who has the wisdom to mandate to another person what that person should do with his child. I have been in government some 30 years, and I can tell you that when I sat in the halls of those persons concerned with setting policies for vaccination procedures in this country, that I was never impressed there was a great depository of wisdom in that room. There just wasn't. I believe that the person who is far more capable for determining what happens to a child is the parent of that child, rather than some bureaucrat who sits around a table in Washington," unquote. But as we speak, there is a big push happening in federal government for compulsory mandated vaccines, pushed for by the AMA and pharmaceutical lobbying efforts. Dr. Morris continues, quote, "When I left the FDA in 1976, there was no technique available to measure reliably and consistently neurotoxicity or potency of the vaccines then in use. Today, 11 years later, the situation remains essentially the same," unquote. The connection between compulsory vaccines and autism can no longer be denied. The enhanced public awareness of this fact is brought to light by parents all over the globe today. New evidence shows that 1 in 100 children are suffering from some form of autism, neurological problem, behavioral and/or immune system dysfunction. Talk about epidemics. After 15 years, the media finally has taken notice, placing a U.S. congressional hearing on television in April of 1999. There, we saw the efforts of a few honest congressmen and courageous medical doctors whose independent, multidisciplinary approach to investigating the biological mechanism of vaccine-induced autism is serving as a counterweight to the steadfast denials by infectious disease specialists and government health officials defending the current compulsory vaccination policies. It made me ill to see how these supporters of the present vaccine system twist reality. Colleen Boyle, a representative for the CDC, read a prepared statement denying any connection between autism and vaccines. Congressman Burton asked her if she thought it was a conflict of interest for the same people who were funded by the vaccine manufacturers to be on the advisory board of the CDC, making decisions about which vaccines should be given to American children. Boyle did not answer. Burton repeated the question, but Boyle was speechless. Boyle's sudden paralysis of the vocal cords during this moment speaks volumes to our cause, that vaccines are promoted for profit and a means of controlling the public, not for public gain. What I have actually discovered from my personal associations with many good MDs is that there is a generalized ambivalence regarding the subject of vaccination. They know in their hearts that the process is totally wrong and harmful, but many keep quiet for fear of becoming the outcast, or worst, delicensed. Let's now look into the facts about vaccines that make them feel this way. Quote, every doctor will allow a colleague to decimate a whole countryside sooner than violate the bond of professional etiquette by giving him away. Unquote. George Bernard Shaw.